So this is a work I've been doing with my PhD supervisor, Neil Turok, and Angelika Fertig. First of all, why are we interested in describing this quantum tunneling phenomenon in a Lorentzian path integral formulation, so in real time? First, because experiments are becoming more and more precise in measuring tunneling particles, and so we would like to have a model to match the experiments. And second, having a real-time description would allow us to extend our description to time-dependent models and situations where gravitational effects are important. So our more general aim is to better understand the Lorentzian formulation of quantum mechanics. However, we will start with a working example, a very simple one, where we can do everything analytically. And this is the inverted harmonic oscillator. We will propagate a one-dimensional non-relativistic particle from point x0 on the left-hand side to x1 on the right-hand side. We will require the energy of the particle to be below the potential barrier, so that we are actually describing tunneling. And so these two points, the turning points, will become important, because these will be the classically allowed regions. We start our analysis with the Lorentzian real-time path integral, giving a propagator between point x0 and x1 in time t. This is simply a path integral with these boundary conditions. However, as we need the energy to be fixed below the potential barrier, we don't really need the time and position propagator, but the energy propagator. And this is obtained by a Fourier transform integrating in time. In this integration, we change variable, and we use two time variables, a parameter time that will describe the classical solution, that will be a complex classical solution, and this parameter time will go from 0 to 1. On the other hand, we have the Schwinger time that will be the integration variable in this time integral, and it's really the total time taken for the particle to tunnel. While the path integral is exact in this model, because it's simply a quadratic potential, this time integral cannot be done analytically. And so we will use Pickard-Lifshitz theory to get a better handle on this integral. As I said, the path integral part is very easy. We write down the action of the model, obtain the equations of motion, use the boundary condition, and write down the solution, the classical solution, in parameter time. Plugging the classical solution back into the action, we obtain the classical action, and so the exact path integral. We are left with this time integral, however, that cannot be done analytically, because of the way this, its exponent depends on the n variable. This is, however, a conditionally convergent integral, and thus we can use Pickard-Lifshitz theory, essentially Cauchy's theorem, first of all to make the integral manifestly convergent, and secondly to allow us to apply a subtle point approximation that's a semi-classical approximation. Pickard-Lifshitz theory requires us to analytically continue the exponent and the n integration variable. So our original contour from integration contour from 0 to infinity is really a Cn contour in the complex n plane. These are the steps we need to follow in order to obtain our final result. First of all, we find all the saddle points of the exponent, this function I. Then we distinguish two kinds of saddle points, the relevant ones that will give a contribution to the integral and the irrelevant ones that will give no contribution. Then for each relevant saddle, we have a Lifshitz thimble, a steepest descent contour, and the original contour can be written as a sum over the relevant Lifshitz thimbles. Finally, for each thimble, we can do an H-bar expansion. The little n is the intersection parameter. This is 1 or minus 1 for the relevant, while it's 0 for the irrelevant, and that's why they don't contribute. Picker-Lifshitz theory is really intuitive in some sense. Here we have the original integration contour, Cn, and a couple of saddle points. Across a saddle point, we have a steepest ascent contour, K, the blue curve, and a steepest descent curve, J, this purple one. As you can see, for this saddle, the steepest ascent meets the original contour, and this will give an intersection number equal to 1. For this other saddle, we have the steepest ascent contour, the blue one, that never meets the original integration contour, and thus the intersection number will be 0. This is why this is relevant and this is irrelevant. But as I say, this is very intuitive, because if this saddle has a steepest ascent towards the original integration contour, from the CN contour, we have a steepest descent to the saddle, so we can slide down the contour. In the other case, we have a steepest ascent from the integration contour to the saddle, and so we would need to go up the hill to reach the saddle. In the inverted harmonic oscillator, the saddle points can be written down explicitly, and as you see, they have a real part and an imaginary part. The real part is related to the classically allowed motion, actually the time it takes to do this allowed motion outside the potential barrier. This is are the saddle points of the exponent in our n complex n plane in a temperature map for the real part of the exponent. However, the picture is complicated by a degeneracy that makes all the saddle connected to each other. So we cannot apply Picker-Lifshitz theory straight away. This is also called the Stokes phenomenon. And to overcome this difficulty, we can introduce a perturbation in the exponent. For example, we can analytically continue h-bar to a complex h-bar. The limit we are interested in is h-bar real, so this alpha, the phase, must go to 0. However, we can take this limit in two different ways, from positive or negative alphas, and we obtain two different descriptions. In the positive alpha case, we see that only the first saddle is relevant because it has a steepest ascent meeting the original contour. And so we will only have one Lifshitz thimble, and thus only one semiclassical expansion around this thimble. And thanks to this recent result by Serone and others, we know that this expansion will be borderless-summable to the exact result. In the other case, the negative alpha, we see that all the saddles in this quadrant, an infinite number of them, will be relevant. And thus, we will have an infinite number of semiclassical expansions. This is our result. The energy propagator can be written as a sum of saddle points expansion for each saddle. And this will be just one saddle in the positive alpha case and an infinite number of saddles in the negative alpha case. However, the first saddle, the one that is always relevant, is also the dominant saddle. And using only this saddle, we can recover the WKB or the Euclidean path integral result. Why couldn't we start with the Euclidean description? The reason is that there is an infinite number of singularities along the imaginary axis. So we couldn't weak rotate straight away. However, the Euclidean integration contour can be obtained in our method as a limiting case. we must take the limit in which the classically allowed region, epsilon, shrinks to zero. And then the contours will come closer and closer to the imaginary axis. Finally, for each saddle point, we have a classical solution. This classical solution is described in parameter time and is a curve in the complex x-plane. And the blue curve is the one for the dominant and always relevant saddle, while the orange and red ones are for the other saddles that can be relevant or irrelevant depending on the Stokes region. As you can see, the particles seem to avoid the potential by going into the complex plane. And this is something we could, in principle, use to test this model by measuring the imaginary part of the particle, of the position of the particle while it tunnels. To summarize, we have described quantum tunneling starting from a Lorentzian path integral formulation, even though in a very simple toy model. We have seen that the energy propagator is described by complex time saddle points and complex classical solutions. We have used Picard-Lifshitz theory to make this integral manifestly convergent and to be able to do a saddle point or H-bar expansion. And we have obtained the Euclidean path integral formulation as a limiting case. In the future, we would like to first of all, draw a more physical picture by doing an energy expansion, for example, trying to tackle more different potentials, for example, ones that allow for vacuum decay. And we would like to apply this method to cosmology, for example, with a membrane bubble nucleation. Thank you.
Your action is, I mean, it's not something I would call a Lorentzian action, right? It's just classical, I mean, typical quantum, like usual quantum mechanics, the action.
It's real time because we are not in a relativistic formulation, of course. So it's just real time as a starting point. We have the I here.
Oh, so that's what you mean by Lorentzian. Yeah, I'm a little confused. At some point, you said you can test this in experiments by measuring the imaginary part of the position of a particle while it's tunneling.
Yes, you can couple your measuring device to the position of the particle and use weak values to measure the real and imaginary part of the position.
I have a question about that too, because I think of this imaginary part as some kind of momentum that the particle is giving to the system while tunneling, and then if you catch it up, I mean, I'm trying to understand how you measure that more precisely. Is that some kind of momentum effect? Is you looking for transfer of momentum while the particle is tunneling?
Yeah, I would say so.
Have you thought about design of such a...
not really. I think actually it would this imaginary part would manifest itself in the spreading of the momentum of the measuring device.
So there would not be any kick in momentum, just a spread.
No, there is a kick.
A kick.
There would be. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, Neil did this calculation.
Yeah. So okay. So you would see the. So it should be.
No, it's detectable.
Yeah. It means you want to catch the particle while it's
yes.
In the middle.
So you need time resolution greater than the frequency of the tunnel time. But that's now becoming a issue.
Just about that, like, you know, people with microscope electronic tunneling, they have, I don't know, is there something you could do? You know, we have very high precision movements.
Yes, so I think they're just approaching the limits of
approaching to be able to do that. So you can design, you can design traps on a single electron where you have a call, not the name of it, but basically you have a bunch of electrodes on a on a chip. You can dial the potentials of these electrodes and trap single electrons and manipulate the potential of the electron. There are many systems now becoming very
sensitive. So you would need to see the electron being kicked under.
Well, you see, you've got to observe, weakly observe the particle while it is stumbling.
Mm-hmm.
So you need at least another electron to be watching for what it is stumbling. So it's tricky, but it's experimental.
Okay, then let's thank Laura one more time.